Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Friday edition of the Three Martini Lunch. Ian Tuttle of National Review is in for Jim Garrity today. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives, all of them dealing with Thursday night's Republican presidential debate on the Fox News Channel. Ian tells me he was not jumping off his couch this time and screaming and hollering in support of the zingers leveled against Donald Trump, although he says it's a pretty good night. And we'll get into that as we go forward here. The good martini for conservatives is that Donald Trump's key issue of immigration has taken another punch. Jim Garrity and I talked earlier this week about the off-the-record conversation with the New York Times where Trump talked about his flexibility. He talked about his flexibility again last night to some extent on immigration and other issues, and we'll get to that in just a moment. Here is Trump, first of all, responding to arguments that he has essentially not acted in a way that's consistent with his principles on the campaign trail when it comes to his hiring practices. This came out at the last debate in him importing foreign workers to work at the Mar-a-Lago resort in Palm Beach, Florida. Here's Trump addressing that again on Thursday night.
You have a club in Palm Beach, Florida called the Mar-a-Lago Club. It's a very, very successful club. It has a very short season. It's called The Season. And it goes from November till March. It's a few months, 5 months at the most. People don't want a short-term job. They don't want. So we will bring people in and we will send the people out. All done legally, all done with a process that's approved by government, 100% approved.
And so The Season, as he says it, which is called actually The Season in Trump world, was not taken lying down from Rubio or Cruz. Here's Cruz going after Trump on this issue in particular.
He said, well, the problem is you can't find Americans who are qualified or who want to work as waiters and waitresses. How many people here have worked as a waiter or waitress? Millions across this country. That is an astonishing statement. You know, Marco's dad started as a bartender. My dad started washing dishes. And yet, you know how many Americans wanted those jobs? Roughly 300 applied. Donald hired 17.
Ted Cruz with the facts there. Then Megyn Kelly asking Donald Trump about where he really stands on H-1B visas, which is for highly skilled immigrants.
Mr. Trump, your campaign website to this day argues that more visas for highly skilled workers would, quote, decimate American workers. However, at the CNBC debate, you spoke enthusiastically in favor of these visas. So which is it?
I'm changing. We need highly skilled people in this country. And one of the biggest problems we have is people go to the best colleges. They'll go to Harvard. They'll go to Stanford. They'll go to Wharton. As soon as they're finished, they get shoved out. They go. They want to stay in this country. They want to stay here desperately. They're not able to stay here.
So you are abandoning the position on your website.
I'm changing it and I'm softening the position because we have to have talented people in this country.
This, along with the wall, Ian, are the two big issues on immigration for Donald Trump. He says he's not relenting on the wall, but him championing American workers who are losing out jobs to immigrants has been another one as well. The question is, how big of a difference will it make?
This is utterly astonishing. I mean, the man repudiated a key plank in his immigration platform live on national television, and he did it in such a perfect way. I'm changing. It had that sort of like, this is happening right now. I'm literally changing my mind as you look at me. It was just astonishing. What I think is it just reinforced for anyone who is watching, anyone who sees this afterward, who hasn't yet made up their mind, that he simply can't be trusted. If you think that Donald Trump's promises are reliable, you are an absolute sucker. He is taking you for a ride. Mitt Romney was absolutely right. Ted Cruz and Rubio were absolutely right on stage last night. All of these promises, we always said about Barack Obama that his promises came with an expiration date. Donald Trump's promises also come with an expiration date, and that date is a lot closer on the calendar. So last night, what you saw on the immigration issue were just clean blow after clean blow from the other candidates and from the moderators on Mar-a-Lago, on H-1B. And of course, last time, Trump took serious hits on hiring the illegal immigrants for Trump Tower on Fifth Avenue. And of course, the Washington Post had a report in July of last year that Trump was using illegal immigrants on his hotel in D.C. So if you are Jeff Sessions, the famously hawkish immigration-focused senator from Alabama who just endorsed Trump on Sunday, last night was just massively embarrassing for you.
I must point out, to protect you legally, Ian, when you say that all of Barack Obama's promises come with an expiration date, that's copyright Jim Garrity, 2008.
Yes.
So then the question is, will we find out in the next few days whether this resonates at all, whether people are so entrenched now with their candidate that that they just believe in their candidate at this point and the debates don't matter too much? How do we decide when and if this actually makes a difference?
Unfortunately, we'll find out when voters actually go to the polls. There's just no good polling for the states that are coming up. You know, we might see some polls or some internals that suggest some movement, but probably not until ballots are actually cast. What we do know, though, is that for voters who make up their minds late, for anyone who's still deciding, they're going overwhelmingly away from Trump. And so I think last night hopefully encouraged that same trend. I don't know how you could watch last night and think this man is going to do exactly what he says when he's openly abandoning his promises on stage in front of your very eyes.
155 delegates at stake among the four states on the ballot. Tomorrow you've got Kansas, Louisiana, Kentucky, and Maine. Kentucky's caucus is also the one that will renominate Rand Paul. Now, he was supposed to be renominated in a primary, but then it kind of worked out the system.
Mm-hmm.
My friend in Kentucky, who I think generally likes Rand Paul, calls it the Rand Paul Vanity Project. But anyway, Rand Paul will be renominated, and we'll see who comes out of Kentucky and those other states with the most delegates. On to the bad martini now, and staying with the debate and staying with Trump. This is the question that he was posed to by Brett Baer of Fox News.
General Michael Hayden, former CIA director, NSA director, and other experts have said that when you ask the U.S. military to carry out some of your campaign promises, specifically targeting terrorist families and also the use of interrogation methods more extreme than waterboarding, the military will refuse because they've been trained to turn down and refuse illegal orders. So what would you do as commander-in-chief if the U.S. military refused to carry out those orders?
They won't refuse. They're not going to refuse me, believe me.
But they're
let
illegal.
Let me just tell you.
This is, I think, actually probably plays pretty well into Trump's base. Tough guy, not going to be pushed off of his point, although if you look at the last martini, that's potentially questionable. But what do you make in general of Trump saying that the military, believe me, is going to do what I want, even if they consider it an illegal order?
This is just extraordinarily ugly. I mean, we've talked for the past several months about Trump has, strongman tendencies. That's exactly what this is. First of all, he's proposing things that are in direct contravention to international law. There's, I think, good faith debate on the right about the legality and the morality of waterboarding, whether it's torture or not. What Trump is proposing in previous debates, outright torture, and then here targeting terrorist families is absolutely outside the bounds of both legality and morality. There's a very important distinction between targeting terrorists and accidentally creating civilian casualties and purposefully, intentionally going after civilians, which is what he's talking about. I mean, it's just extraordinarily ugly. Luckily, as my colleague David French has pointed out, the military is simply not going to do this. They are not only bound by the law to disobey that sort of order, but they're generally men and women of honor who would refuse that sort of order. If you do have Donald Trump as commander-in-chief, I would expect that you would see a serious break, a serious fracture between the military and the commander. I mean, we've talked about that in context to Barack Obama, but he's not ordered something to our knowledge that would be as heinous as the types of things that that Trump is talking about doing. Whether this affects voters, I don't know, but it's just another indication that this man is absolutely unfit to be anywhere near the White House.
On to the crazy martini now, and this one actually focuses on someone who wasn't on the stage, and I think some conservatives might argue wasn't mentioned enough on stage, and that would be the likely Democratic nominee, Hillary Clinton. Her campaign putting out a series of tweets last night. None of them come with the H at the end of the post, which means that she probably didn't actually do them. And they also involve basic technical competence, which also tells you that she probably didn't post them. Cause they include GIFs, the one of which that we're going to look at here is of her rubbing her temples at that marathon hearing before the Select Benghazi Committee late last year. And the tweet reads, "How many more of these do we have to sit through? Asking for a friend, hashtag GOP debate." And Ian, it's just meant to be a joke, of course, that this is a Republican debate again that's devolved into a bunch of shouting and so forth with Donald Trump playing the lead character. But for anyone who actually knows where that brief video is from and the investigation into what went wrong and how four Americans got killed might not appreciate the joke.
It's so unbelievably tasteless. I mean, just utterly classless. You know, the Hillary campaign can make all the jokes it wants. It's fine, but it's using the background of a legitimate investigation into what went wrong that killed four Americans, including a United States ambassador, for her to use that footage to make a joke in the interest of her political campaign is so unbelievably classless. That said, I think this highlights one of the reasons that Republicans need so desperately not to hire Donald Trump, Donald Trump. Trump's classlessness, Trump's vulgarity, his tastelessness is going to be on television screens, on YouTube, et cetera, relentlessly if he's the nominee. We talked about this yesterday, I think it was. How on earth is Donald Trump going to say Hillary Clinton is tasteless and crude and classless for doing these sorts of things when he opened his remarks at the debate last night with a reference to his own genitalia? I mean, this is just the absolute wrong messenger in a presidential cycle where you have very entirely valid complaints to make about Hillary Clinton exploiting the deaths of these Americans for her own political purposes. He's absolutely wrong for that, and Republicans will learn that the hard way if they choose to nominate him.
It's going to be fascinating to watch what happens here in the next few weeks. And really, the next couple of weeks, we're really going to know whether this is theoretical, whether we're headed for a possible brokered convention, or whether this is a train that's gotten too far down the tracks. There's a lot of attention, a lot of tough questions, a lot of criticism now. And a lot of folks are going to wonder, if it doesn't come soon enough, whether this should have happened months ago. So, Ian, as always, great to have you with us for the past 3 days.
Absolutely.
We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Greg.
Ian Tuttle of National Review in for Jim Garrity. If Jim survives CPAC, he'll be back on Monday with me. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us, and be sure to tune in again on Monday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.